Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Hey there, you're listening to the PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect Magazine. It is May 19th, 2024, and this is the last.
May 19th? Want to try that again?
December 2024? This is the last podcast of the year for us. I'm your host, Eric, and this is John.
Hello, hello.
He's just listening to point out all the mistakes I make.
Yeah, I got it. You are listening to episode 2024.12.19. Yes,
I basically said that. Part of the last episode of 2024, you can join us in our Discord at discord.phparch.com. We are a podcast that focuses on PHP, the programming language, the surrounding community, and our wonderful company, PHP Architect, the magazine, the conference, and really the business of PHP, as well as we'll talk about tech and other things that kind of perks our interest. The show is made a little better thanks to some sponsorship by honeybadger.io, and we will share some more on them in a little bit. Besides that, I always feel like I'm forgetting something else.
But you did a good job this time.
Yeah, I think I got it all that time. Yeah.
Once you realize we weren't in May, you're looking forward to May of 2025. I get it.
Why would I be looking forward to May of 2025? What could possibly be happening?
But we're not there yet. Soon.
We're almost. You look at time as a linear thing, man. You got to understand, man. It's not. That's how what the man wants you to think, man. But time is not linear, man.
It's concaving in on itself. Are we like spiraling out of control?
It's like a folded piece of paper, man. You just jump through it. What's happening in May, John?
We have a wonderful conference that you pointed out. PHP Tech will be happening in May. For those that are asking, I've gotten a couple emails. When are we going to select speakers? We are actively working on it. It's not easy. And yes, we could just grab a bunch of speakers and throw them in there and say, this is it. But no, we are going to take our time and try and make sure we're giving you the best possible experience.
Very excited about the speaker. So
yeah, hopefully we can wrap that up, but it's going to be hard with next week having Christmas. I can't believe Christmas is only 6 days away.
It's incredible.
For those who celebrate, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody else, whatever you celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking forward, got some exciting news from the venue. I don't know if they're done yet or if they'll be done by the conference, but they've done some revamping of the suites. I won't even say rooms. They're not even rooms. They're suites. Like every room is a suite there. It's really nice. You get a couple of rooms in your suite. Right.
You get a living room and your bedroom off to the back. And yeah, they said they've, like you said, revamped them. They've freshened them all up. So excited to check it out.
Yeah, really excited. Really, I haven't seen them yet, but yeah, really excited about it. So yeah. We have started the process of selecting speakers. Again, nothing has been sent out to anybody yet. But for you, if you didn't even submit a talk, but you're interested in going, get your tickets. Early bird is ending very quickly.
Make sure when you book your hotel room, you do it through the link on our site. One, you get our conference rate for the room. But you also get breakfast included for one person and then $10 for each additional that's in your room instead of I think it's typically $20 for their little breakfast buffet that they have.
And it's not your typical continental breakfast. It's really a good layout as far as breakfast goes. There's a lot of selection. It's worth, I mean, it's definitely worth $10, but it's even more worth free if you book through the site. So make sure you do that. It's important. So let's talk personal stuff, I guess, before we get into it. How's your week? You seem busy this week, John. You're not as responsive as you normally aren't.
What are you talking about? You haven't written to me. It's typical staying busy, getting, you know, coming into the holiday time, trying to get stuff wrapped up. Knowing
literally.
That I have family coming into town next week, so wanting to make sure that I can take some time away will be nice. But yeah, same thing. I've been talking to you like for weeks about this, where I'm one of the only ones that work on our phone systems for the client that I work on. So when I'm coding, especially for the phone systems, there's often two parts. There's the web part and the phone part, and having to do these late night releases to make sure I'm not impacting people on the phone is hard, because last night I went to a holiday party and had to come home inebriated and release and go.
Nothing could possibly go wrong there.
Can't go wrong at all.
How I prefer to release code is pretty much drunk off my ass.
Well, what I feel bad about is our release manager who normally handles it, you know, earlier in the night, lives on the East Coast. So by the time I'm doing these releases, it's 2 o'clock in the morning there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me, I have this PR that I want to release, but it hasn't gone through CI yet. Can you release that when you do your other stuff tonight? I'm like, sure, I got that. Yeah. I merged it, not realizing that they didn't change it to target the production branch. They were targeting develop. Mm-hmm. I had already changed all of my stuff to target production. So I knew just merge and I'm ready to go. So yeah, I wake up a note this morning saying, hey, I'm releasing that PR. And I'm like, oh, what did I screw up? And they told me, yeah, you just didn't bring the develop branch in. I'm like, wasn't expecting that. That's on me.
Huh. Oh, John.
Yeah.
And this is why we don't let you work on any of our clients. Just kidding.
How about you? How was your week?
Pretty well. I've been spending a lot of time with spending more time than usual with our mobile developer. Getting a little excited because we're getting to the time of the year where we're starting to like massage some ideas for the conference. We have the mobile app we release at the conference, and so I've been talking to him about that a little bit, but doing well. Yeah, had some like, okay, we're PHP Architect. Obviously, most people know PHP Architect from the magazine and the conference and books and maybe even a little training. But when John and I took over, we pulled in our existing consulting group into PHP Architect. So where that's what I typically think of mostly when I think of PHP Architect, because that's like where we generate a lot of our money from. But the magazine is really important to us. Us as a whole, like the entire company participates in the publishing process of the magazine. So what happens is each month, you know, we have a pipeline of what's being released that month. And everybody on the team here at PHP Architect will take an article to proofread before putting in the magazine. Basically, it's just a sanity check of, yes, does this make sense? Does the code look right? And there's no like rhyme or reason. Like everybody kind of picks up articles as they're readied for it, because our editor, Jackie, puts everything through Grammarly. So by the time it gets to the rest of the team, all the grammar should be correct. That doesn't necessarily mean it flows correctly, like it sounds right to a developer, but as far as like Grammarly goes, in like a regular person, Jackie goes, not a developer, it sounds correct. So the developers will all pick up articles. And I kind of lose sight of that a little bit, because we do it every month, right? And you kind of forget the fact that the team is helping out. That's a big help. But occasionally something happens where it's like, oh, that's really cool. And coming in December, there is a feature, or was it a feature? I forget. There's an article in there about legacy applications and upgrading legacy applications. And the person who had proofread it got like majorly inspired and just jumped into our legacy code base and started attacking it using some of the suggestions in this article. And it was cool to see this. So this conversation mostly happened last night. And I'm watching two of our developers, Kaylin and Frank, go back and forth. Kaylin's the one that actually read it. They start talking about this stuff in our Slack channel. I'm like, ah, that's cool. And I kind of really didn't think much about it because we will get these like sparks of inspiration to attack the legacy code base from time to time. And we'll talk and it'll fizzle out and you know, whatever. And then I wake up this morning and there's a PR from Kaylin implementing some of this stuff from the article. And I'm really? Like, that's cool, man. Like, you know, now you guys haven't gotten a chance to read this article yet. So it's, I'm sure everybody's already, I mean, you guys are probably still getting off your CouchDB high from my article last month. But so prepare yourself.
Yeah, except the article was, I split it into two. So it's going to be two parts.
I think that was a good move because it's a lot, big article. Yeah,
it was over like 7,500 words. Yeah. So we split it into two. There's the first part is like your mindset around what you should be thinking, you know, preparing all that, and then the second part is the actual technical part. You know, all the ideas. So excited about that. I didn't see that in our Slack channel. So I'm curious, what got him motivated? What was that impetus to make changes?
Yeah. And he even uses some of the tools from the column itself. But yeah, like I said, when I don't know where to start with this without sounding kind of douchey, but like PHP Architect had always been big thing for me. Even before I was a full-time developer, I was a subscriber to PHP Architect. And I would constantly look to it for inspiration and just knowledge. And, you know, we always try to position it as a continuous learning.
Continuing education. Yeah.
Yeah. Which it is. It really is. But that's when I was a consumer. And, I, you know, as a consumer, you kind of skim through and you find the articles that kind of catch your eye and you read them. In the position we are in now, we kind of have to give everything as much of attention as anything else, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess I get a little bit out of touch with the fact of, oh yeah, you know, these are very inspiring articles. You know, these are important. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At first, yeah. Thank you to all our subscribers for all the past years and especially subscribers in 2024. Thank you for your support. You know, the product we deliver is very important to everybody here at PHP Architect, and everybody does put, you know, a lot of time into trying to give you a good product. So I really want to thank you to all our listeners, but especially the subscribers. You guys are really important to us. So yeah, thanks. It really means a lot. And for people who come up to me at conferences and stuff, I'm not an approachable person. I've talked about this in the past, but thanks. I mean, I do appreciate it. Everybody comes up to me, says hello. I mean, it really does mean a lot. It's really something I find myself reflecting on a lot when I'm you know, coding or just sitting here and think about people I've met at conferences. So appreciate all you guys are all pretty awesome.
You're supposed to do this three weeks ago at the Thanksgiving episode. just kidding. Carry on.
What?
You're thanking all our subscribers and everything. I'm like, this was supposed to be 3 weeks ago at the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh.
It's just supposed to be funny. Ha ha.
It's the end of the year, man. You know, it's a time of reflection.
I like it.
So, fun thing. We had a previous podcast, PHP Ugly, where we did the weekly podcast. So I shared a lot of stuff there more than we did on the PHP podcast, which historically we kind of kept really focused on the magazine and what we were doing in the magazine. Now we've kind of broadened that. But if you weren't part of that, something about me is I tinker a lot and I do a lot of weird shit with like keyboards. So I have a split keyboard called the Kinesis Advantage 360 with the concave keys. I love this keyboard. Absolutely love it. And Chris, what's Grumpy's last
Harges.
Name?
Harges.
Yep. Harges. Chris Harges got me stuck on this concept of home row mods. I'm a horrible typist. Matter of fact, just in general, my grammar is absolutely horrible. But I never learned how to type, which is weird because I love the keyboard. I hate reaching for my mouse. But he tweeted or something about home row mods, and I started using it and got completely addicted to it. The current I almost used the character name of current wife. I said I wasn't gonna do that here. But my wife, who spends a lot of time behind a keyboard as well, she's been having some tendonitis or carpal tunnel syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's looking at getting a more ergonomic keyboard, which, you know, I geek out on. I've gone through so many like very, you know, nice keyboards. Like I said, the 360 has been my daily driver for the last couple of years. I had the Advantage 2 before that. I played around a little bit with the Moonlander, but yeah. So I'm pitching these like keyboards to her, and I think she's going to get a keyboard with, you know, that has a little tilt to it, that has the split to it, which I told her the split and the concave keys have made the biggest difference to me because I'm a bigger guy with big monkey paws. So being able to like spread my keyboards out and get them, you know, in the position where my hands lie naturally have been very helpful. But I'm trying to sell her on the home row mod. I'm like, listen.
She's not going to care about that.
No. She's already made that very clear. But that doesn't stop me. If I gave up the first time, I would have never married the woman. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, bugging her to give it a chance. But yeah.
You don't need it.
I what are you talking about? You absolutely need it. It's a complete game changer, man.
It's a game changer for developers, especially those that know Vim. I agree there. But the average person is
no, you're so wrong.
You think?
I mean, how often do you reach for your control key? How often do you reach for your shift or your
I reach for it, but like my control key, I use this part of my knuckle. Like I just roll it on there. And then my other keys, like I just tuck my thumb under for the other two. Like I don't really have an issue getting to them.
I actually have to see where the control key is on like a normal keyboard, because on the 360, it's in a really weird position. So the control key is like over here.
Right.
So it's not at the end like it is.
And you're holding it upside down, which makes it even harder to know. Where, yeah. Well, but for yours, it's like
ironically, right. That's how I type upside down. So yeah. Now I've never been much of a pinky guy. I can't. I mean, even now, like to do the double quotes, you know, I still have a tendency to shift my hand over. I don't use the pinky. So yeah, but. No, so if you don't know what the home mod is, basically it's your home row, and you just map.
Home row being your ASDF HJKL.
Right.
Not H, exactly. JKL, semicolon.
Right. And you map these to you can map them to whatever you want to map them to, but you basically map them to your function keys on your keyboard, where if I press and hold the J key, it turns into the command key, or on a Windows machine, the Windows key. And K for me, well, so they're mirrored, right? Whatever you do on the right, you do on the left, right? From end to out. So the K, D key, if I hold them down, they're control. S, L is shift, and A semicolon is alt. So just having that there, I don't know, man. I think everybody can benefit from it. TJ Miller caps lock. Did you see? Oh, let me find this. I gotta find this. I don't even know if he's on X anymore. I think he's on X. TJ Miller got a new tattoo.
Oh yeah.
Which I actually owe TJ Miller, I think, has designed my next tattoo. Oh yeah, it's on here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Check this out. Let's share this. Check out TJ's new tattoo. That is permanently in his skin now. Caps lock. Yeah. He gave me the backstory on it a little bit. It was very, very cute, very funny. It's not what you probably think it is. Well, it is probably what you think it is, but anyways, yeah. He got it tattooed on his fingers.
Listen to this, what is it, Slightly Caffeinated podcast?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For context. Check it out. Oh, yeah, where is that at?
It was on that same post.
Yeah, Slightly Caffeinated. Let me get there. That's TJ's and another really cool guy is opening up over here. Chris, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, GMYR. Anyways, those two dudes, Slightly Caffeinated. Listen to it after you listen to ours. You got to make sure you listen to ours first because we have a sponsorship deal. What's it called? Affiliate deal. Well, affiliates. Yeah, yeah. We're affiliates to them. So you want to listen to us before you listen to them so we get the affiliate link. That's a joke. Just ignore me. But yeah, he talks about it a little bit there. So yeah, check it out. Great guy. I really enjoy TJ.
Awoods brings up using caps lock as escape, and I've seen people do that, but again, I've never had an issue getting up to the escape key, just bumping up and just hitting it real quick.
I think it's more, so again, back on this keyboard, the 360, there is no cap locks. It's actually, they actually put the escape key where the cap locks key goes. That's there. I didn't do that. But I don't think it is nice. I mean, so on my laptop, I've done that on my laptop. I do prefer it over reaching for the escape key, but also, for me, I couldn't tell you how many times I've accidentally hit the caps lock key. Like when I've reached for the A and you kind of do that thing where you hit both keys. So it definitely helps with that as well. I for sure would recommend, to TJ's point, we kind of had a conversation about this over Telegram. You know, like, you don't need, like, why is there still a caps lock key on keyboards? Like, who uses this? You know, what psychopath uses it?
All of our parents to type a message.
This is the point. You need to stop enabling them and just take it off keyboards altogether. And to be fair, the 360 still has one. It's down here. I haven't even bothered remapping it because it's like in a spot where I don't even accidentally hit it. It's just kind of a useless key for me. But yeah, 100%. Look at home row mods. Remap your escape key to either. So TJ does something interesting. He remaps his to, if he taps it, it's escape. But if he presses it and holds it, it becomes a control key. So kind of like the home row mod, but for the caps lock key, he does it for. So I don't know. I might have to think about doing that. I don't think I would think about it though, because like I said, with my control key being D and K now, I mean, it's just like, there's no finger travel anymore. Cause that's where my fingers already are. So yeah, even reaching over to the escape key doesn't make sense. Yeah. Yeah. There's that. All right. So we got bad news. In the world,
what is the bad news?
PHP. There's new malware out there. Malware.
Before you move on, you gotta do me a favor. I've never noticed it before, but your video is reversed.
Like, I might be able to fix that.
Like, yeah, it's just a little thing up there. We can mirror it. Oh, I think I can actually do it for you. Can I?
Yeah, yep. You're late.
You did it.
That's weird. I never touched that. And every now and then it goes wonky on me. I don't know what's going on there.
I was noticing when you're holding the keyboard, not when I was reading your hat. I don't know why.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, I can't. I can't really see. I got too much of a glare when I try to look at the keyboard.
All right. So malware.
Appreciate that. Malware. All right. So first thing I'm going to say, I've looked at a few sites about this malware. It's very clickbaity because it says it's malware that exploits popular PHP frameworks like Laravel and ThinkPHP.
First of all, what's ThinkPHP?
Great initial question. I didn't realize that was a popular PHP framework. Maybe I'm a little out of touch.
No, they meant the town.
Don't go there. Don't do it. Don't do it. I forget what it's called.
You don't think David would like it? Wasn't that his name?
I don't remember his name, but I don't remember the framework name either.
That's it.
Come on, A Woods. I saw you in there. What is it?
I don't know. I was saying just move on. I was just kidding.
Oh, okay. Hey, Woods, I know you're in there. I know you know what it is. You put it in there yet? Nope. Okay. So everything I've read about this, there's nothing about it that is specific to the frameworks. It seems to be an exploit of just PHP sites in general and servers that are running PHP. So the exploit isn't in PHP itself, it's just getting the package on a server that runs PHP and it has all this bad stuff in it. I haven't found anything on how to check for it, how to correct it. I don't know how bad of a problem it is, but it's bad enough where the exploit is called Glutton. If you're not watching the video, you're watching, listen to the audio. By the way, all these links will be in the show notes on the PHP Architect website if you're interested. But the exploit is the malware is called Glutton. And every time I've read the articles, all the articles I read, there's nothing specific about any framework. Laravel, it touches on Laravel, ThinkPHP, Yee. There was another name they kept throwing out there. It just all seems to be around the fact of, oh, hey, you know, if it gets this package on the server, it installs all these backdoors, gives it this functionality. I'm like, yes, but the vulnerability isn't in stop saying it's a Laravel thing. It's not Laravel, at least not from what I've read. Feel free to correct me, listeners, if anybody knows of anything different, but I could not find an article that talked specifically about why it's tied to frameworks. So it is out there. It is an issue. I'm not sure how to tell everybody to look for it or how to check for it or how to fix it because I can't seem to find that information either. It seems more like kind of fear, uncertainty, doubt sort of posting out here. And I almost hesitated bringing it up on the show because I don't like doing that. But it just kept bugging me. I'm like, why do they keep putting Laravel into this?
Because they want to get noticed.
I think that's it, right? I mean, like, just saying it's a PHP exploit or malware for PHP, people just don't care anymore. But you say Laravel, all of a sudden, yeah.
I mean, I haven't read the full thing, but it's almost like it's just a PHP script that they're getting onto your server via a zero-day or end-day flaw or brute force attack. So it has nothing to do with a PHP flaw as much as they're getting a PHP script onto your server now. But if you can do that, of course you can have a backdoor onto somebody's server or collecting sensitive information. I mean, that's any language. That's not PHP.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know what to tell people about it, but yeah, it's just a tool. It's a root toolkit written in PHP is really what it is. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. You know?
Yeah. It's not it's not a PHP exploit, like you said.
Right. And people like to use Laravel so much just to get noticed, just to get attention. Oh, hey,
come to PHP Tech for some Laravel talks that we will be having. Yeah,
there's going to be some great Laravel talks at PHP Tech. And but we will not sink to that level. Moving into the next article, there is a new extension for Laravel. Okay, no, I did actually have this on for a reason. I don't remember if I talked about it after Laragon.
He did.
I did. Okay, yeah. So Laravel, the company, has made their own extension for VS Code, which is cool, right? I mean, VS Code is heavily used. It's a free editor out there, probably just under JetBrains products, but you know, VS Code is free as opposed to JetBrains. We're gonna get back to the cost of JetBrains here in a second, but let's just go with JetBrains cost money. It's really cool to see that they did this. I would love to see more companies do this. I think Symfony might do an extension as well, but don't quote me on that. I didn't mean to look that up.
Yeah.
So the official beta version of this extension is out. And it's cool because it's really addressing a lot of things that are unique to the framework that they, I guess, felt like wasn't being addressed well enough. Great thing about open source, right? We can do things like this. So they have a lot of things, but the really cool thing is they have integrations, or not integrations, I guess they have, I don't know what you would call it. They take in consideration things like Inertia, Livewire. I know I saw Livewire in here somewhere. But these little kind of pieces that it's like, oh yeah, you know, these sort of, if you find a good extension, typically it's more generic PHP, or if somebody tries to do one specific for Laravel, kind of goes out date fast. I know there's a Laravel plugin for Vim that I stop using because it just doesn't, it's not keeping up. And I'm like, okay, I don't get enough use out of this. So yeah, it's out there. If you're a Laravel person, if you're a VS Code person, the extension is out there in beta for free. Really cool.
I found it interesting. This extension will occasionally boot your app in the background to collect information about your app for use in auto completion, linking, hovering, and diagnostics.
What? Where do you see that at?
It's at the top of that GitHub, the please note.
No, I just I looked right past that every time. Yeah.
Down, right under please note.
Oh, interesting. I wonder what that means.
Well, maybe figuring out what commands you have, so making it easier to run those. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, just, I mean, it's for auto-completion linking. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it probably, if this extension does it, I'm sure a million others do it as well, including probably, let's lead into that, including something like CodePilot, which is, I know I have this open somewhere. Okay, we'll open it again, fine. CodePilot, if you're not familiar, is GitHub's AI tool. And you used to have to pay for it. Not anymore, apparently. Apparently, yep. Copilot is free. I guess it was free. I don't use VS Code. I know we just came off an article about VS Code. I use PHP Storm. If I don't use Storm, I'm using just straight Vim. I don't need to get into it. I just couldn't keep up with so many IDEs. VS Code's a great product. If I ever didn't want to pay for JetBrains products again, I would probably install VS Code. But yeah. Copilot's free now.
But is free only in VS Code for some reason?
So that's what I kept getting confused on. If you look at this article, yes. But then you read on, and it's also free if you pay for a GitHub account. So it's not just VS Code. If you pay for a GitHub account, you also get it for free. I meant to highlight that before the stream, and I forgot to do it. But trust me on this. It is in here somewhere. Yeah, so VS Code and paid GitHub accounts get it. Which I guess we're not a paid GitHub account anymore, are we? We never did after Diego Dev. I don't think we pay for GitHub anymore.
I think we do.
I'm not sure. For
Now I'm curious.
I don't think we do. Let me know. I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, we pay. Our next payment is due January 10th.
God damn, it's so expensive.
Now
that GitHub is part of it, maybe it justifies, or not GitHub, Copilot is part of it, maybe it justifies it a little bit. Speaking of free, and speaking of IDEs, WebStorm and Writer. And Writer is the Rails IDE, I think. I forget. I forget which one Writer is for. Are now free. Well, free for non-commercial use. This is the JetBrains product. And I hear you, JetBrains. Stop saying with the quotes in the air, Eric. It's just for non-commercial use. And if you're using it for commercial purposes, you need to pay for it. And the reality of it is, if you do this professionally, just pay for the goddamn thing. It helps support the ecosystem. You don't want to code for free. Don't use the goddamn product for free if they ask you to pay for it. Just pay for it. We do it all the time. We pay for stuff, things people don't even ask us to pay for. So just pay for stuff. I'm a big supporter of that. I live in this world. I know how hard it is to make money. Don't feel bad if you are using it for free and you don't get paid to do your coding. I'm not trying to guilt shame people into that way, but I'm guilt shaming the people who make money and don't pay for shit.
Anyways, Nelson says Writer is for .NET.
Writer's for .NET. Okay. Anyways. Oh, yeah. I forget the Ruby one is. But anyways, yeah. So it's now free for non-commercial use. Pro tip, for PHP Storm, which is Python, their Python IDE has a community version for free for non-commercial use and a paid version. PHP Storm does not, as of today, have that. But what it does have, I assume all the other IDEs have it as well in JetBrains suite, as they have what's called EAP, Early Access Program. If you sign up for the Early Access Program, you can get those versions of PHP Storm for free. It's you're on the bleeding edge at that point. This is basically them releasing all the latest, greatest. A lot of times, like, plugins will stop working if you're on the EAP because the plugin developers haven't caught up to it yet. But if you need PHP Storm, if you want PHP Storm, that's a pro tip on how to get it for free. Yeah. So, yeah. That's that.
I'm very confused. We are on the free tier of GitHub, but we pay almost $200 a month for it.
Are you sure? Are you sure that's not the
when I go the to
projects we support?
When we go to compare plans, it says we're currently on the free tier, but in our billing, our current monthly bill, and then our next payment due is January 10th. Meaning we're paying. So now I'm very confused and I gotta go figure that out. Thanks for
giving me. While you figure that out, let's talk about another great thing to pay for, and that is monitoring, thanks to our friends at Honey Badger.
Splunk like querying without having to sell my kidneys? Nice. That's a direct quote from someone who just saw Honey Badger Insights, the new observability tool from the folks at honeybadger.io. Insights is a fresh approach to logging, performance monitoring, and observability. It's a bit like Splunk, Datadog, or CloudWatch Log, but with just the good parts and a reasonable price tag. HoneyBadger helps you gain deeper visibility into what's happening inside your applications, letting you drill down into the details and step back to see patterns in your data. You'll love how easy it is to query your logs and events and create quick charts and dashboards. The best part is that it's available on HoneyBadger's free tier as part of their comprehensive monitoring suite, which includes error tracking, uptime monitoring, status pages, and more. Get started for free, then pay as you grow, or choose a 30-day free trial to unlock the full power of HoneyBadger right away. To get started, visit honeybadger.io/plans. That's honeybadger.io/plans.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Thank you, Honey Badger. I figured out what we're paying for.
What are we paying for?
We're not paying for GitHub. We sponsor packages. We sponsor open source packages through GitHub. And again, we get paid to do PHP for a living. Open source maintainers do this, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts. So we try to give back a little bit where we can.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Are you sure it's not the projects we're sponsoring? Yeah.
Cool. Oh, I missed that part. I heard you say, are you sure it's not the projects? I was thinking our clients, not those.
No.
But yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. We really need to put a site up on, not to pat ourselves on the back, more for us to keep track. But we need to put a secret spot up on the PHP Architect website of the stuff we're sponsoring. Like, I don't know if we pay for it for the entire year, but the phpc.social Mastodon servers, we pay a good chunk of that. I think it's for the entire year. I think we pay for the servers for the entire year. I know how much we give them, and it should cover it for the entire year. We obviously donate to PHP internals, and yeah, we really need to keep track of who we're giving money to. It's kind of important.
Hey, Nelson. And everything is through different places, like some through GitHub, some through Patreon.
Collection. Yeah. What's the collection one?
The collective.
Collective.
Open Collective, that's it.
Yeah. Open Collective, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna teach you how to drag stuff over to the proper column.
What do you mean? Did you just move something that I wasn't ready to move over?
I moved over the WebStorm and Rider one because you'd already talked about that one.
Right. Let's talk about this. Because this is something else I think we need. Let me see. Do I have this open? You know what else JetBrains has, Jim?
What is
it? Besides all the great IDs, they have a swag store now. I'm telling you, we need a swag store.
We have one. It's called phparch.com.
Yeah, but we need more swag. Like, we need hats and t-shirts and things like that, man. Like, socks. I don't understand. What's the deal with socks? Why has everybody got socks? I don't get the socks thing.
I don't either. Because they're never comfortable socks either.
No, they're not. They're always... And for somebody with a size 14 foot, they never fit either. They're all ankle socks, whether they're meant to be or not. Yeah. But yeah, something with some t-shirts. I don't see. Here's the thing. The thing that's always stopped me from doing this, if anybody knows of a good service, first thing, I don't even think this is a real site because it uses this fake money. What is this, cryptocurrency or something? I don't know. That's not American money. I don't get it.
No, it's not American money. You're correct.
But the thing that's always stopped me is
a real site. Sorry, Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's a real site. A dick about it, but like, to make it worth doing, you know, we have to like print the stuff up in advance so we have a set cost, and then since, you know, people buy it and send it out, which I don't know, seems like a lot of effort.
Well, but I'm sure there's plenty of, like, this is probably done through drop shipping. It's probably like,
well, drop shipping,
it's print on demand.
Print on demand is what I'm talking about. So yeah. I would really like to find a print on demand service that doesn't like make a t-shirt costs 30 whatever weird money this is, but in US dollars, it's like $30. It's like $30. I'm like, I don't want to pay $30 for a t-shirt. I definitely don't want to ask people to pay you $30 for a t-shirt, and that's without profit. You know, you're just, which if it's printing on demand, I'm fine with that. I'm not looking to make a ton of money off of it. It's just frustrating to me. Like, I don't want to ask people to pay $30 for a t-shirt. It's frustrating, man. I hate how much. That's it, John. We need to buy a printing company so we can print this stuff.
There you go. That's the next step.
That's our next step. We'll buy a print machine.
PHP printers.
I mean, it just rolls off the tongue, man. I don't see why we don't. Yeah. So, yeah, they have a swag shop if you're into that sort of thing. I am. I like getting swag. Well, it's not swag if you pay for it. You know what swag stands for? I think I've told you this before.
If you did, I don't remember.
It has couple meetings. So swag, if you're not familiar with it, is the stuff you get at conferences and stuff. And I've been told that the word swag stands for stuff we all get or steal.
Hey, just made that up. I said shit we all get.
Stuff. Well, yeah, maybe shit's a better word because typically it is shit. But yeah, stuff we all get or sealed with a gift is the two kind of reasons why I've been told it's called swag. But I don't know.
Do you want to talk about the second card on my column? We talked about possibly bringing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
All right.
I don't know why you hesitated. Yes, John, we 100% should talk about that.
In the new year, coming up very soon, PHP Architect will be hiring a SysOps person. So if you are into SysOps, especially in the AWS ecosphere, can help maintain servers, keep them updated, optimize costs, keep PHP up to date as well. Like the whole system operations thing, we are hiring. So hit us up. Let us know.
Not like AWS. AWS. AWS is the absolute requirement.
I didn't mean to say like AWS.
But. AWS is the absolute requirement. And to the team members who might be listening, surprise! We haven't told our own team about this yet. But yes, we are officially on the hunt for a SysOps person. Coding is not a requirement. It's appreciated, and most SysOps people I know coding, but AWS is an absolute requirement. We need to really dial in our AWS environment, and yeah, it's a great opportunity.
We need to free up the person we have doing our SysOps stuff now, because
free up. Oh. I'm kidding. Yes, free up. We had Kaylin. So I'll even call him out by name. Kaylin has done an absolute phenomenal job at becoming kind of our SysOps person. And he did not come on board initially to be that. I definitely know he wants to code more, but there's no time for him to code anymore. I mean, the guy is literally working on servers almost all the time. Servers are migrations, and we have a lot that we need to do. And again, great opportunity if you're into this. If this is something that you're good at and you want to do and you're passionate about, let us know, because we've been doing just enough to keep our heads above water. We've been doing just enough so that we're not doing anything bad for our client and trying to push our clients forward. We really need somebody to come in and kind of take the reins and just make that their focus all the time. So if that's you, if that's something that interests you, reach out to John and I on Discord, on any of the socials, email us. We'll probably should even create an email address for this, but we haven't published this anywhere. So you're in the know. You're already in their inner circle by finding out about this and letting us know.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. What else we get? You were talking about... Whose idea was that? What's that? Hiring somebody?
Yeah. Because that's
always... always very self-conscious about it. Like, I'm very protective of our team. We just hired a new mobile developer, and it took us a very long time to get there. But I'm very protective of our team, and I don't like bringing in new people. That whole slow to hire, quick to fire... We could probably be a little quicker to fire, but you know, slow to hire is I'm 100% on board with, and I just we should have our new hire come on the show and just put him on the spot and see how he feels, like how because it's been so long since I've worked anywhere else, like I don't know how good we are at doing what we do, or just making people feel welcome. So yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. So what you're saying is Brooks will be on the show next week or in 2 weeks?
Maybe. I don't think I've ever actually used his name before. Yes,
you haven't, but yeah. I think it's fair. We use everybody else's name.
I mean, they're all, exactly. They're all pongs in our little world of chat. So John.
His name is Brooks. He lives at 1483.
Yeah.
I just made those numbers up. I don't know what that is. So
thanks, Kevin. I don't know why you would say such a thing, but I appreciate it. Kevin says we are amazing people. Oh, you weren't talking about us, Kevin. Oh, that makes much more sense.
So we're taking next week off. Be back here in 2 weeks, which I think is January 2nd.
And I believe you are correct.
Everyone's wrong. I can be correct.
Is that your way of ending the show? Are we ending the show?
We're getting close. Yeah. Tomorrow night, I'm taking my kid to a scouting event that goes from 10:30 p.m. to about 12:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing broom ball. So basically, go to Poway Ice and play some game on the ice without ice skates. You're just in shoes and just slipping and sliding and hurting yourself.
Is it the whole? Yeah, that sounds weird. What the hell is Poway Ice? Where the hell is that?
In Poway. there's an ice rink off of Stowe out there that I didn't know was there until my kids started playing ice hockey a few months ago.
It's always been there?
Yeah, it's been there for a long time from what I can gather.
What? I lived in Poway for so long.
I mean, there's one in Miramar.
Oh, back there. I did know about this. You know who? That's the practice facility for the Gulls.
Yeah. Yep.
Why'd you just say that? Damn it!
I didn't know that. I didn't think about that.
I didn't realize it was open to the public.
Yeah. So that's where. So the kids that are starting, they get like little Gulls shirts. Like they start out. Huh. You know. Practicing.
So the Gulls, for those of you out there, they're the minor league team for the Anaheim Ducks, I believe, in hockey.
Oh.
So
really?
The hockey minor league team. Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're it's one of the LA teams. It's either Ducks or the Kings. I'm pretty positive it's the Ducks. But it's weird being in Southern California how popular hockey is. Like, we have balls that have ice rinks in them, and all year round, like even in the middle of summer, there's an ice rink in this mall. And it's crazy how popular ice hockey is here in Southern California.
I went to my first Gulls game this past weekend. And outside of having, so it was for my kid is in the school safety patrol. So we're in the section with all these fifth graders, and directly in front of us were six girls, and then directly to the left of my son was another girl. And whenever it said get loud, oh, they got loud. They screeched. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my God, there's just too many of them.
Much like minor league baseball, man. It's a great, great, cheap way to see some, you know, good sports. When I lived in OB, which is right, do they still play at the sports arena?
Yep.
Okay, so I lived in Ocean Beach, which is the beach right next to the sports arena, and the wife and I used to catch Gulls games, and had a blast, man. I'm not even like a hockey person. Like, I don't know all the details about hockey or all the rules around hockey, but definitely enjoy watching that. Hockey and basketball, that constant movement, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it was exciting. We're going to be going back here soon. We've already made plans.
Cool.
So real quick on
go ahead.
On no, hockey, one more minute. My younger son, who's now playing hockey or whatever, he's not actually playing games, but going through the drills. He's sitting there at the game, and all he wants to do is watch the game. And with all the girls screeching and standing up because all they want to do is be on the Jumbotron, he's like constantly, I just want to watch. Get out of my way. Poor kid.
Yeah, you get some crazy fans too. We've been to Gulls games where people just slamming the glass, screaming all sorts of obscenities, and it's fun. I enjoy it.
All right,
cool. Well, I think that's it.
Yes, thank you everyone for hanging out with us. Happy holidays again. Can't believe it's
happy
already
holidays, Merry end Christmas. Of the year. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for a great year of support again from our supporters, our subscribers. We do appreciate you. Everybody who attended Tech, obviously, appreciate you as well. I think that's it.
Thank you for being in our sphere, our community. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. Thank you for letting us be a part of your community. That's the big thing. All right, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Keep coding, keep reading, keep listening, keep watching.
Keep coding. Yeah. Keep PHPing.
Keep PHPing. Keep peeing. Keep it. Make sure you pee. Pee every day if you can. Maybe a couple times a day would be good.
And please stop looking over my shoulder.
What?
Bye.
I'm supposed to click something, aren't I? Hold on, wait a minute. You're supposed to
click something. Stop looking over my shoulder.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.